Life just got a little better, thanks to Merry Man Ernst.
The following information is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Always seek the advice of your qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition.
Hello, this is Mike King with Merry Man Herbs. It's a Better Life Show, and today we have with us my good friend, Cheryl Myers from Europharma. You're the Chief of Scientific Affairs and Head Educator. Cheryl, help me out here.
Scientific Affairs and Education. That's the title.
Okay, and you are one of the best. I love talking with you. You put things into layman's terms and explain everything so well. So let's get right on this. We have a lot to talk about today. This is extremely exciting. Your companies come out with new products all the time, but these I think are extremely beneficial and special, and it's going to help a lot of people out. Basically, we're going to talk about the hemp oil and the hemp oil with curcumin. We've had a lot of customers take the hemp oil separately and add the curcumin in. You've got them together in a combo, so we'll save the best for last. That's the icing on the cake. We're going to initially talk about hemp oil. Now, we've done other shows at www.merryman.com. Click on the icon Mike King on the radio, and you'll find all of these shows podcasts. So if you want to listen to prior shows, there's over 100 now, several years, and you can listen to any show at your leisure because it's obviously podcast. So, Cheryl, we'll start with this hemp oil product that you came out with. Let's start with a little bit of the history. Tell us a little bit of a history about hemp oil and how your company came to develop this and so forth.
Well, as many of your listeners may know, hemp has been a source of a lot of really valuable materials for a very long time.
Oh, yes.
In fact, there's texts and information that goes back thousands of years. For example, 3,000 years BC in China,
This
was one of the most popular medicines for an emperor at the time called Emperor Fu, who had who left us a lot of information on how they used it medicinally. It was mentioned in the Bible, in the book of Exodus.
Right.
It was used over 1,000 years BC by the Egyptians. And guess one of the things they used it for was glaucoma and inflammation. And so they've used this plant medicinally for literally thousands and thousands of years. Some of our presidents, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, they grew industrial hemp.
I read that. I also read that it was one of the first plants that was cultivated by man.
Yes, indeed. It's an incredible resourceful plant, one of the most valuable on the planet.
Oh, my gosh.
You can use it as a building material.
Mm-hmm.
You can use it to weave the fibers into cloth.
Wow.
Use it to make paper.
Paper, right.
You know, it just goes on and on. But it also turns out that there's some medicinal compounds that we find in hemp.
Mm.
Now, the Latin name of hemp is Cannabis sativa.
Right. Right.
And we know that that's also the botanical name for a drug called marijuana.
Right.
So
right.
What happened was, even though this has been a valued botanical for thousands of years, because of the fact that it was also used to make a substance that could get you high or to alter your thinking, we started to see that it kind of became demonized because we went through that whole crazy reefer madness over the last 20, 30, 40 years.
Right, and we've talked about that on the radio show. That happened to be one of the things that was put out to kind of shut down the hemp, the paper making by, you know, I don't know if we want to say who did that or not, but it was one of these things that they did to, you know, produce more paper mills and so forth. Now, there's cannabis sativa, and then I guess it was bred for the narcotic effect, and it's now a separate species called what, cannabis indicus?
No, that is a different species, but cannabis sativa is still divided into two different plants.
Oh, okay.
One that we call marijuana and one that we call industrial hemp.
Okay.
So they are from the same family, but I often say, you know, roses are from the same family,
too. Oh, yeah.
But you can have teacup roses, you can have big red roses, you can have tiny white roses, you can, you know, there's a huge amount of variety within the plant.
Mm-hmm.
The same is true with cannabis. So when you look at marijuana, those plants are low, they have a lot of leaves, they're bred to have a lot of leaves.
They look a little different.
That's where the active compounds are in the leaves. So they're shorter little bushes, but they have lots and lots of leaves. When you look at industrial hemp, they were using that for fiber and other materials, so it's longer, it's leggier. It does have leaves, yes, indeed, but it's not the concentrated amount of leaves you see on the smaller plant.
Okay.
But they both are cannabis sativa, and unfortunately, because we had kind of an overreaction by our government to problems with marijuana, and they sort of demonized it, they demonized industrial hemp right along with it. And so we lost years of research that could have been ongoing on this incredibly valuable botanical medicine.
You know, you hit on a good point, because I remember even years ago, and I think I've mentioned this before, with the lady that I knew that used to write The Business of Herbs, and I asked her what her favorite herb was, and she said marijuana. And I'm like, wow. And she says, well, there's we have not researched it, but what has been done, this plant is almost a cure-all. It is a phenomenal botanical. You're going to eventually see pharmaceuticals, which we're now seeing, made out of it, and supplements, which we're now seeing. And she said, we've really missed the boat, because it was so demonized and put down and kind of put on the back burner. We're not really utilizing the benefits from this phenomenal botanical, which, as you've already mentioned, our ancestors knew about. So again, you know, it was, I think it was Hearst with the publishing and so forth way back when, and he had bought up all of the land out west, a lot of the trees, and was wanting to really push the paper mills. And that's kind of, I think, through Dr. Robert Scott Bell had written a book about that. And he mentioned to me, that's why they did that reefer madness and really pushed that down, because they didn't want hemp to be used for paper, because he wanted to make his money off of the trees. So I think that's where maybe it started. Now, another thing I wanted to point out real quickly is, you probably know, the hemp, the industrial hemp or the medicinal, or, you know, the one that we use for food use, is very, very low in the THC and higher in all of the other compounds. And again, we've talked about, now the latest I've heard is there's over 150 compounds or 6 to 8 that are what we call psychoactive, THC being the main one. Do you agree with all this? Is this kind of what you know too, Cheryl?
Well, there's a system within our body called the endocannabinoid system, and I'm sure we'll
talk about
that in a moment.
Yeah.
But the endocannabinoid system responds to our body's own production of cannabinoids. So
right.
Our body makes these compounds.
Yeah, people need to know this.
Our body makes 2-AG and anandamide are the two most important.
Okay.
You can also activate the system and supplement the system by getting cannabinoids from plants.
Okay.
The richest source of cannabinoids thus far investigated is hemp and also marijuana. But
okay.
You're absolutely right. Marijuana is much higher in one single cannabinoid called THC, tetrahydrocannabinol.
Right.
And THC is what gets you high.
It overwhelms your endocannabinoid system, is my understanding. It just totally overwhelms it.
Well, it's a little bit out of balance, but, you know, it also has some medicinal applications as well. When you look at hemp, industrial hemp, there is THC, but it's much lower. The main cannabinoid in industrial hemp is called cannabidiol, or CBD.
Okay.
But you are right. When I first started to work with some of the research on hemp oil and the cannabinoids in hemp oil, when I started to look at that, they said, well, there's at least 80 cannabinoids in hemp. And that's, you know, in a year, they're up to, as you said, close to 150 that they've thus far discovered.
So that's what you've heard, too. Yeah, it just keeps changing. It keeps growing all the time. Yeah.
All of a sudden, we've opened the doorway to legitimate research.
Right.
On these compounds.
Now, real quickly, I just want to interject this. You know, we've talked about the endocannabinoids that are also found, and we talked about the anxiety formula, and, you know, that's also found in the echinacea. It's found in a lot of other botanicals. So this is not an unusual compound.
It's not unusual, but it's not all that common.
Okay.
There are plants other than hemp that have cannabinoids, or things that activate the cannabinoid system in the body. I always think of it as a series of switches.
Okay.
And there's some cannabinoids that might switch on switch 1, 2, and 3.
Mm-hmm.
There might be another cannabinoid that flips the switch on 7 and 12.
Mm-hmm.
There might be another cannabinoid still that flips the switch on 99.
Okay.
So these are all switches throughout our body that activate a lot of the different activities in our body, such as the process of digestion, the ability to recover from stress, ability of our immune system,
helping with seizures,
to kill cancer cells.
Right.
You know, we've got all of these different activities in our body, and one of the modulators is our endocannabinoid system.
Okay.
So when we look at hemp is the richest source with well over 100 different of these compounds.
Mm-hmm.
You were talking earlier about echinacea for anxiety. There is a single cannabinoid in echinacea. It's not found in hemp.
Oh,
so it's specific to the species. So this cannabinoid that we find in echinacea is very good at flipping the switches to reduce anxiety, to reduce those feelings of being overwhelmed.
And to interject real quick, you just came out with a pet product for pets that are, you know, have separation anxiety or scared of storms and all of that. And I think it's basically off that same human product. Is that correct?
Absolutely. So we have AnxioCalm, which is our human product.
Right.
And then the product that we have is for pets is called Calming Formula. It's for dogs.
Oh, awesome.
And you're right, separation anxiety. A lot of dogs are stressed when they have to go on a car ride.
Oh, yeah.
Going to the vet.
Oh, yeah.
Or
My dog used to throw up. She used to throw up. She got so nervous, and, you know, eventually she calmed down. But, you know, the problem is, you know, the vet would probably give you a narcotic, which has a lot of side effects. This, of course, wouldn't. It would have a lot of positive benefits, so it'd be definitely something worth a try.
Right. So that's one example of using the compounds found in plants that support the activity of the endocannabinoid system for positive health benefits.
Yes.
Therefore, that was the development of the product AngioCalm, which was developed by the Academy of Science in Budapest, Hungary, and that has also been recently launched. And we have an animal health line called Terry Naturally Animal Health. So it's one of the dog formulas that has recently been launched, and it's been hugely successful.
And it's available at Merryman Herbs.
The other thing, another plant, though, that we've talked about, we started to talk about, is hemp and the fact that it has literally hundreds, over 100 cannabinoids, and they all do different things in the body. So while a lot of people focus on CBD, you know, you see it everywhere. It's huge, and there's been a lot of people that have used the popularity of CBD and the desperation of people who may be suffering from pain or have other serious issues.
Right.
They've used that popularity to sell some pretty shoddy products.
Oh, I've seen some horrible
horror stories.
And they put synthetics in them, and they put all kinds of artificial things, and the carrier oils, who knows where they're coming from, and they do this network marketing, and they charge so much. And
well, one of the scandals that really offended me was that people were buying hemp oil in capsules off the internet, and they were canola oil. They didn't even have hemp in them.
So
people are using this to, you know, to sell some pretty shoddy products. So
make money.
I think it's important to understand that there's a lot of legalities that go into creating a medicinal hemp product.
Yes.
And that's one of the reasons why we launched our products, is to make sure that individuals have access to a legitimate, you know, scientifically investigated product that is a powerful natural medicine. So the first regulation is that you can't have very much THC in your hemp oil.
Exactly. What is that? What is that amount? Is it point?
It has to be less than 0.3%.
0.3.
Now, it occurs naturally in industrial hemp, but even though it occurs naturally there, you can't have very much of it because then it's not a legal product. So the first thing you have to check out to make sure that you've got a legitimate legal product, efficacious product, is that it is guaranteed to have less than 0.3% THC.
All right.
The next is that it needs to come from the stock of the plant. The majority needs to come from the stock of the plant because there's a lot of companies selling hemp seed oil. Now, hemp seed oil is not bad. It has some omega-3 plant, omega-3 fatty acids, but there are absolutely zero cannabinoids in hemp seed oil.
Interesting.
So,
I didn't know that.
It has to be hemp from the stock of the plant.
Okay.
So that's another watch out, is to make sure it's a full hemp oil. It has to have all the cannabinoids in it. If you just try to single out one single cannabinoid, for example, CBD, that is not a legal thing to do.
Okay.
The reason it's not legal is because there's a drug company from the United Kingdom.
NW Pharmaceuticals, right. They were one
of the pharmaceutical company that has gone through the process to get drug approval with the FDA to launch a product in the United States that would be a pharmaceutical drug for a certain type of seizure disorder that is a synthetic CBD. So the FDA has put out a proclamation saying that if you claim CBD in your product, you're claiming that you have a prescription drug in your product.
Well, they have two. There's two pharmaceuticals, and one is basically FDA approved for anxiety, stress, and I think for some other things too, but it's mainly anxiety, stress. Oh, and pain. That was the big one, and pain. So they've got one for seizures, which I think is called something like Sativix, and the other one is one of them is Sativix, and the other one has another name for it too.
So those will be on the market probably within a year or so.
Okay.
And as
there's
going to
be a big pushback and shutdown on.
I'm not 100% sure, but it's my understanding that they're synthetics, that they're not the actual compounds from the plant.
That's what I've heard, too.
There's a lot of weird legalities around hemp that you have You have to make sure that you're crossing all your T's and dotting all your I's to make sure that you're following all the regulations to make sure that you have a full spectrum. That's why full spectrum is so important.
Right.
These companies that are just taking THC out of hemp and selling it on its own are really making a mistake, because researchers have found that there's something called the entourage effect, meaning that the other companion compounds that you find in hemp oil themselves have a strong medicinal role in the body,
mm-hmm.
and also work synergistically with the cannabidiol or the CBD that's naturally occurring in hemp oil.
Cheryl, we see this with all of the holistic aspect in the herbs and botanicals. You know, again, sometimes you will standardize to a specific compound, but don't we see this a lot with, I mean, this is kind of what you just said is kind of what, you know, where you get the best effect from a certain botanical like black seed or even the curcumin. I mean, there's a lot of different compounds, and if you just take one out, you're kind of missing that holistic effect, right?
In a lot of instances, yes.
Yeah.
You know, these botanicals are designed to be, and many of them are to work together. Now,
right.
That's not always true. For example,
sure.
If you took vitamin C out of an orange,
mm-hmm.
Is it going to be as healthy as eating an orange? No, but sometimes you need higher doses of vitamin C.
Right.
So you'll do vitamin C instead for whatever specific
ascorbic
acid
you're
doing.
Right.
But hemp
right.
isn't a perfect example of Mother Nature knows best
mm-hmm.
because you do need the activity of these other compounds. So
mm-hmm.
some of the names of the other nutrients that are in hemp, the other cannabinoids that are in hemp, are things like cannabichromene, which has activity in certain parts of the body. Cannabidiferin. I mean, all of these are,
wow.
I'm certainly not smart enough to go through and name every single one of them.
Me neither.
But I just want folks to understand that there's more than one compound in hemp oil.
It's a holistic botanical, right?
Yes, that's going to provide you with the activity that you need. So
okay.
some of these compounds in hemp oil are providing a plant version of something that's already in your body. Those are the cannabinoids.
All right.
But another way that they work as well is that some of them keep your own body's cannabinoids active longer by slowing down how quickly they are degraded.
Okay.
So there's a multitude of different types of activity that the nutrients in hemp oil can provide for individuals. It works from several different directions, and that's one of the reasons why it is just so powerful.
Wow, that is awesome. So, you know, it's addressing a lot of different channels in the body, and I heard there's like maybe there's the endocannabinoid system 1, 2, and 3, and then now they're saying there's like 16 clones are discovered. And every day, like we said earlier, they're discovering more and more things with this endocannabinoid system. So it's addressing a lot of different things. And I've also heard that less is more. Sometimes people just need a little bit. I've had a lot of customers get really great relief with just a small amount of the hemp, and I think yours is standardized to 20%. So they're getting either maybe about 5 or 10 milligrams in the product, which usually, you know, a lot of products only have 2 milligrams. And I guess if you have something really chronic, maybe you would go with a specialized higher dose or medicinal or something like that. But again, it's kind of like, is it kind of like topping off your oil in your car? If you're a quart low, you put that quart in and boy, your engine runs so much smoother.
That's a good analogy.
Okay.
It is true that as we age and in the presence of certain conditions, we do make fewer of our own endocannabinoids.
Right.
In fact, researchers are looking at what happens when you have endo means inside.
Right.
Endocannabinoid deficiency. What happens?
Oh.
And they're wondering, does that play a role in a lot of psychological disorders?
Oh, wow.
Anxiety and depression. They're wondering, does that play a role in chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia? What are some of the other diseases that they're investigating? And that it's not fully elucidated, but
mm-hmm.
what are some of the other diseases that might have as part of their problem an endocannabinoid deficiency? They're looking at even obesity and overeating. You know, marijuana
right.
has the well-deserved
yeah.
reputation
the munchies.
Of giving
yeah.
you the munchies.
Right.
You know how many college students are running out for M&Ms in the middle of the
I
night?
I know.
So everybody says, well, does hemp oil with that full spectrum of nutrients, is that going to make me hungry? No, it's actually been shown that it helps regulate hunger.
Yeah,
it helps to keep you from,
yes.
you know, from needing to eat to satisfy to reduce your anxiety or to satisfy some feeling, that it actually can help people lose weight because
exactly.
of that.
Exactly. I've interviewed other people about this, and they all say, well, you know, it what it does is it helps your body reach that homeostasis. So if you're under-eating or overeating, it's going to bring you back to the normal. So again, maybe, you know, with the marijuana, you would think, okay, it gives you the munchies, but with this hemp, it actually can help you to maybe not necessarily lose weight or gain weight, but to bring you back to normalcy.
Right. Right. So awesome. I think that the research is just beginning. There's some excellent published studies on a variety of different health problems that people have. But I think we're way behind time. We're way behind in our timeline.
I know.
We should have been doing this research 50, 60 years ago.
Yes.
But because of the stigmatization of marijuana, they also stigmatized any kind of medical research having to do with cannabis sativa. And so as a result of that, I think that we've lost out on years where we could have had valuable information, not just on how the plant compounds in hemp and certain other botanicals, not just how they work in the body, but what the endocannabinoid system itself in the body does. What does it regulate?
Right.
How does it work? How does it influence our thinking? How does it influence our memory and our mood? How does it influence the ability of our immune system to do its job?
Fighting cancer and all kinds of things. Right, yeah. Yeah, I was talking to somebody the other day, and I was like, you know, talking about the endocannabinoid system and the hemp and so forth, and we got down to, well, what doesn't it do? I think maybe it doesn't affect the upper respiratory, but then I've heard that it can do that. So it's kind of one of these things of like the curcumin products. I mean, what don't they do? Hey, now I was reading a little bit about Carl Germano. He's a good friend of mine, and I think we were talking off air about how young he looks. I think he's in his late 60s, and he looks like he's in his 40s or, you know, 49. He could pass for that easily. But did you I was reading about this, and you there's been some write-up about him with your company. Did he help develop this, or was he a source of information? How did my good friend Carl?
Yes, he certainly was.
Okay.
He certainly was one of our sources of information, being an expert in the field. And
he's
have
brilliant.
A webinar recorded, in fact. If you've got folks out there that like to go to YouTube, on YouTube, just type in the Terry Talks Nutrition, and you'll get a whole list of different types
of
webinars.
We have a link on our website to that, so you can just go to our website.
Cool.
And below
the
radio podcast, we have a Terry's Talks Nutrition and the Terry Naturally. We have links to you guys, so they could do that, or they could just do what you just said too. They could go to YouTube. But yeah, I think he did was it a call-in or something like that, a radio show?
An educational webinar. Webinar. Went through. It was very in-depth.
Oh, wow.
So if you're in the audience and you really like the science behind how natural compounds work to support health, I think you'll enjoy it. But he did a very in-depth explanation of exactly what the endocannabinoid system is, how it works in the body, and why there are certain compounds in plants. The most plentiful source, of course, is hemp oil, but other plants as well, that can really make a difference in health. And I think it was fascinating. I learned a lot listening to him on that webinar. And it's less than an hour, and you can pause it and restart it again. And so I think if you really want to know more about it, that's a great resource.
Well, that would be great. Yeah, so you can go and listen to that. We do have a link on our website now. Before we get too far out of time here, I did want to mention he also did – I listened to a lecture of his a number of years ago on superoxide dismutase, which is a super basically endogenous antioxidant. I know I'm talking a lot of big terms here, but that's another one to kind of help with recovery after exercise, or it does a lot of other things too, and it's a natural – internal antioxidant that your body produces, and that's also sold as something that we do too. So he's written a number of books. I just love Carl, and he's been in the industry, I think, for at least maybe 30 years, probably longer than that. And I think he's got a master's degree in clinical nutrition from New York University. So he's very well educated.
He surely is.
Before we run out of time here, we got to talk about the icing on the cake. Now, your company, super high quality, you follow all the rules and the regulations, you source things, you know, organic, super critical extraction, making sure that it's standardized. You now have hemp oil and the curcumin. Tell me about
absolutely. So in addition to our standalone, it's a hemp oil product that's 50 milligrams of the oil.
Okay.
We also had a lot of requests because we do have the most clinically studied enhanced absorption curcumin in the world.
Yes, you do. It's awesome.
Yeah,
we can't keep it in stock.
Yes, and so as a result of that, a lot of people like the combination of benefits that you get from all of the activity of all of the different nutrients you find in hemp oil blended with our curcumin. And so we came out with hemp oil plus curcumin. It's 250 milligrams of our proprietary curcumin, that BCM95 curcumin.
Right.
And then we also have 25 milligrams of the European hemp stock oil.
Okay.
That's also in there as well. So people that are looking to support immunity, curcumin has also been clinically studied to help with both anxiety and depression.
Right. Oh, sure.
We're dealing with that. So there's a lot of clinical work on both of these ingredients, and so putting them together is an easy way for some people to access the health benefits of both.
Right. And speaking of that, there's a couple things I want to tell you. You probably, I'm sure you're aware of this, but I have had customers come in and they get on the hemp oil for pain. You know, a lot of them have back issues. I had a gentleman that had his back was just trashed. I think he had been in an accident and so forth. He came in, he said, oh my gosh, it helps so much with my back. And then I'm taking the curcumin too. You know, that helps so much. But he said, guess what happened? And he says, I'm only taking these two items. Guess what happened? I'm like, no, what? He says, I don't have to take my diabetic medicine anymore. My doctor said that my A1C and my blood sugar is back to normal. And he said, I don't know what you did, but you did something to cure your diabetes. So this is, I looked at the research. There's a lot of research on how the hemp oils can help people with their blood sugar. Were you aware of that?
Absolutely. There's a lot of research going on, not just in helping with obesity, but also in helping to regulate the body's blood sugar and the metabolism of blood sugar in the body and to reduce insulin resistance. Interestingly enough, those are also activities that have been clinically studied in curcumin as well. So I think that by accident, by combining these, he put together a powerhouse of nutrients that can help him with his diabetic issues as well.
And filled all those niches. And not only him, but we've had a half a dozen people get off of their diabetic medicine. Now, please don't stop taking your medicine. Work with your doctor, but it's something that you may want to consider. We've had, I think, 30 people now that have told us that they have been able to lower their medications by using this. So again, we've got a combination here that's very convenient, because I have a lot of customers that come in, they're like, I don't want to have to take this and this. Can I just take one pill? So is this is a gel cap, correct?
Yes. It's a soft gel, yes.
It's a soft gel. They're both soft gels.
Yes.
And how many a day should you be taking of these, or how much can you take? Because I know with the curcumin, I've taken 30 in one day instead of taking the Vicodin or the heroin derivatives. I'm like, well, you know what? I don't mind if I get a little bit of a loose bowel. I'm going to take as much of this stuff as I want. And I felt great, and it really helped with the pain, and I healed up much faster. So what kind of dosage are you looking at with this? It says one a day, but... What?
You know, it's they're both very safe products.
Okay.
Honestly, I'm cheap. I'm from the Midwest.
Yes,
I believe in saving money.
Yes, we are.
You know, quite honestly, this is an instance where you generally don't have to take an enormous amount.
Right.
There might be some exceptions, especially if you're working with an integrative medical doctor or an integrative practitioner.
Right.
Maybe for some special application, they might want to do a very high dose. But for the most part, like we say, a minimum of one a day. You can go up to two or three, maybe especially the hemp oil plus curcumin, you could easily go up to four a day.
Okay, that's good to know.
For the most part, you know, a couple a day. I like for individuals, depending on what they're using it for, one in the morning, one at night, usually is a good enough dose for most people.
Right. Good thing to start your day and end your day. Hey, Cheryl, we're out of time. This has been wonderful. Thank you so much for all of this great information.
It's always a pleasure to visit with you.
Life just got a little better. Thanks to Merry Man Earth.